continue in our Lord Jesus' word from the cross. Look in verse 28. After this, you always got to go back and see what happened. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Two words in the Greek. I understand it's one word, but in our language it's two words. I thirst. Every word that our Lord Jesus uttered on the cross, God seeing that it was recorded, been preserved by the Holy Spirit of God. John said, you know, the man who wrote John's Gospel, he said, I suppose if all the sayings that Jesus had said had been recorded, I suppose that all the books in the world couldn't contain them. But here God was pleased to record every word that he said on the cross. As the scripture says, not a bone of his shall not be broken. So not a word of our Lord Jesus Christ shall ever be lost. The Holy Spirit comes to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his purpose in this world, to reveal Christ to us, to take the things of Christ and show them to us, and to keep us. The Holy Spirit takes the word of Christ, or the place of Christ in this world, revealing Christ to us, dwelling in us, keeping us, sealing us. But as the Holy Spirit comes to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ, here he reveals him, and as he speaks on the cross. And he always reveals, and here he's pleased to reveal to us the last words of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's seven of them. And remember, these are the last words of a dying man, the last words of a dying Savior. Of our dying Savior. No wonder the scripture says when they come to get him, never man spake like this man. Even when he is on the cross, never man spake like this man. And our Lord, being in great, great pain and suffering, his last words prove to us and everybody that can understand what's going on here, that he was fully possessed of himself. That he was fully possessed of himself. He understood everything that was going on. He knew what he was supposed to say, when he was supposed to say it. Everything that he uttered on the cross had already been prophesied of, already been spoken of. And that's what he said after this, Jesus, knowing that all things in the scriptures were accomplished, are now accomplished, he said, I thirst. So our Lord is completely self-possessed here. And he's true. He's true to his forgiven spirit. Oh, our Lord Jesus, how forgiving he is. How precious he is. He is true to his kingly office. He told that thief, when that thief says, you know, when you come to your kingdom, remember me. He is true to his kingly office. He is true to all of his earthly relationships for his mother and his disciples. He is true to his God. He is faithful to God, even unto death. Obedient, the scriptures tells us, unto death. He was obedient unto death. He is true to his love for the written word of God. Everything he uttered on that cross came from the scriptures. Everything. And he was true to his glorious work. I mean, our Lord had a work to do, and he is true to that work. He labored at that work, and he sees that he's going to fulfill that work. And then he was true to his faith the faith in his Father. Now let me say something about that. The Lord Jesus trusted his Father. Trusted his Father. He said, Father, he said, you gave these to me. I want you to keep them now. He said, Father, I know now that you always hear me. Ever I said, the words that I speak, they're not mine, but the words of him that sent me. Now, we have to have perfect faith. Our faith has to be perfect. Everything we offer to God and come to God with has to be perfect. Anybody here got perfect faith today? I'll tell you somebody that did. The Lord Jesus Christ. And we are justified by the faith of him. His faith was perfect. If we're in him, we're perfect. That's what it means to be complete in Christ. So I tell you, he believed he's God. And he believed God enough to make all of our faith be just like his, acceptable. But yet at the same time, we turn around and say, Lord, I believe. But help thou my unbelief. Huh? Now that was seven blessed sayings of our Savior. This one here is the fifth one. This is the fifth one. Remember the first one was, Father, forgive them. This is our faith. This is our faith. Free forgiveness. Free forgiveness. Don't have to pay for it. Don't have to buy it. Don't have to earn it. It comes freely. And it comes as our Savior pleads for us and asks, Lord, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then he told that thief. The second saying was, today, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You talking about faith for us. Here's the safety of us as God's elect, God's in the believer. In the hour he departs from this world, he enters into where he is. That thief said, our Lord said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. The day we leave here, we're going to paradise where he is. And wherever he's at is paradise. Wherever he's at, it's heaven. And that's why we want to go. I don't want to go because of streets of gold, gates of pearl. I don't want to go to that. I want to go to be where Christ is. I want to be with him. That's who I want to be with. I want to be with him. And oh, I tell you, the hour we depart, that's where we're going. I mean, the minute you close your eyes, tell your last breath, you're gone. Oh, what a blessed hope. Oh, my. And then I tell you, he showed his love and respect for his mother when he said, woman, behold your son. Here shows us his true humanity at the very end. He recognized his relationship to his mother, to Mary. And I tell you something. You look with me, you keep this, and look with me over in Matthew chapter 12. I want to show you something. You know, he called her a woman. And he, you know, he took care of her. But look what he says about us in Matthew chapter 12. He calls us mother, brother, sister. Look here in Matthew 12:46. And while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then said one unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Then he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, said, behold my mother, behold my brethren. For whosoever do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. That's about, you can't get a closer relationship than that, can you? Huh? Oh my. So I tell you, and then he says, my God, the fourth cry is, my God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? That's the cry of a substitute. That's the cry of our substitute. That's the cry of a man that was on there bearing our sins in his own body on that tree. There was the man who God made to be sin, who knew no sin. There he hung, and he was forsaken of God because God cannot, he's of pure eyes and to behold evil. And so he was forsaken of God, so we were made acceptable in the Beloved. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Wonderful thing. And then here's the fifth one, the one we're going to deal with today. He says, I thirst. I thirst. This is the shortest one. This is the shortest saying that our Savior had on the cross. And let me tell you something. You remember where I read just a minute ago, he measures the waters in the hollow of his hand. So why would he say, I thirst? Why would he say, I thirst? I tell you why, to show us that he's truly a man. He's really a man. This is our Lord in his humanity. This is a man crying out, I thirst. He made the ocean. He made the seas. He walked on the water. He sends the water out of the clouds. He sends rain upon the just and the unjust, on the evil and on the good. The rivers that start running, every water that comes into this world, he's the author of it, the finisher of it. And I tell you again, and he says, here I thirst. This tells us that he really, truly took upon himself the form of a servant. He was really made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And he cried, I thirst, I thirst, I thirst. He is truly, truly a man. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He suffered as a man. You remember our Lord Jesus said, you know, that he took our infirmities upon himself? I tell you, he took all the things that was wrong with us, he took it upon himself. All of everything that we have, he took upon himself. Bearing our infirmities. Angels don't thirst. God cannot thirst. But man thirsts. And our Lord Jesus Christ here is a man. Man's thirst. This happens to all of us. Happens to all men. I get up of a morning, I drink a whole bottle of water. A whole bottle. Every morning. But listen to what our Lord did. They come and got him in the garden. And while he was in that garden, he began to sweat. Oh, how he sweated. He sweated so much that blood come out of his body and dripped on the ground. Then they carried him from the garden and put him in there and put him on trial. And then they sent him to Herod, and then sent him to Pilate, and Pilate sent him back to Herod. And while all that was going on, he was being beaten. He was being flogged. He was being mistreated in the awfulest, awfulest condition. So his body is in agony. He ain't had a drop of water. He ain't had nobody say one kind word to him. Nobody had showed any mercy, any kindness, nothing to show our Lord Jesus Christ any kind of pity or mercy or anything. And now he's in agony. Nobody said, somebody give him some water. Didn't do it. I've not been offered water. Now he says, I thirst. Let me show you something. Look over in Psalm 22 and verse 15. Look at this. This is what the scriptures, this is the shape he's in. Psalm 22, verse 15. Oh my. And the thirst that he have here is the thirst of death. He is so thirsty it's going to take him to death. So thirsty he can't bear it. Look what he says here in verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. That's how swelled up it was, cleaved to his jaws. And thou hast brought me where we're all going to go, into the dust of death. Ah, his tongue was swelled up in his mouth. Some of you, you know, you have, your mouth gets so dry sometimes, you can't hardly bear it. Can you imagine how dry he was? He says, I thirst. He was indeed Emmanuel, God with us, even while he was on that cross. Oh, how he condescended to this. And let's not forget the distance of our Lord of glory there on his throne and him crucified here. And this one that's been crying out, who crucified him, crucified him. Nobody offered him a cold cup of water. Look in Revelations 22:21. He went through this that we, this is what we got to look forward to, because he went through this. No, Revelations 22. What did I say? Did I say Revelation 22? That's what I thought I said. Look what it says here now. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. And here he says, I thirst, and we're going to sit by a river of life coming right out of that throne. He is the one that set up the woman at the well that told that woman, give me the drink. She said, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. We don't have nothing done with it. He said, I'll tell you this much. If you knew who I was, you would ask me, and I'd give you a drink. He is the one that told every one of them at the great day of the feast, if any man's thirsty, let him come unto me. And now here he says, I thirst. I thirst. Oh, they never offered him a drop of water, not even a drop. And where he says, I thirst, it shows us again he suffered as our substitute. Thank God for substitution. Thank God for substitution. When John said, behold the Lamb of God, why he said that, because I tell you, remember, our Lord said before Abraham was, I am. When him and Abraham went up, Isaac and Abraham went up that mountain, they had the wood, they had the fire, and they had a knife. They was going up that mountain to have a sacrifice, to offer a sacrifice to God, to offer blood to God, to offer blood that would satisfy his justice, that would be a sweet smelling savor to him. Hey, Isaac said to his father, said, Father, we got everything we need when we get up there, but where in the world's the lamb when we get there? Who's going to be the offering? Who's going to be the sacrifice? They got up top of that mountain. He put his son Isaac. Isaac was probably 12, 13 years old. He wasn't 18, 19, 20. He wasn't just a boy. And he put him on that altar. Laid that wood under it. Had the knife drawn back to slit his throat. Because God said, offer me thy son, thine only son. You know why God did that? I want you to know what I offered. Because Abraham said to his son, behold, God will provide himself a lamb. And when he got on that mountain, there was a ram caught in a thicket. And it says that he was taken and put in the stead of Isaac. Christ was taken. Here's God's lamb. God said, I'll provide myself a lamb. You know what the lamb that he provided? Himself. In the person of his blessed Son. He sent him here for one purpose. And that was to be offered as the lamb in our place. You come off that altar, I'm going there. You come off that place and I'll be put there. Take me up. Take them up. And put me in their place. Oh, Father says, they got so much sin, now who can bear it? Christ said, I can. Who can bear the thirst of a multitude that no man can number? The only one that can give them water of life. He said, I can. Who can suffer till all the blood and all the water is out of his body till he can't even speak, barely can. This is a whisper almost that he says here. I thirst. Our Lord, he had to suffer the penalty of sin for the ungodly. And he had to suffer in his body. The things we suffer here, he took our infirmities, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Tell you something about us. We have thirsted in a very, very wicked way. You know, people are thirsty for power, thirsty for sin, thirsty for the pleasures of this life, thirsty to be recognized, thirst to be somebody, thirst to be have people say good things about them, thirst for money, thirst for big houses, thirst for everything but God, everything but Christ. Thirst for everything but Christ. Thirst for the appetites of this flesh. My flesh wants this. I thirst for it. I gotta have it. I just gotta have it. Our first parents, they thirsted. What for? To be like God. You'll be like God. You eat that fruit, you'll be like God. Huh? Oh my. They thirst to rob God of his glory. Men thirst for everything but right and true things. And you know I'm telling the truth. Huh? Thirst. Boy, if I could just get my hands on that there, I wouldn't want anything else. Until something else comes along, and oh, if I could just get that. Thirsting. Huh? And let me show you something. Men who die thirsting after sin. You know what happens to them? Look in Luke. Look in Luke 16. You know what happens to them? Man who dies thirsting after sin. Men who ignore God, ignore Christ, ignore the gospel. You know what happens to them? Look what it said here in verse 23. Of course, you know the story about the rich man and Lazarus. And this is that rich man now. He's in hell. and in hell he lifted up his eyes. This being in torments. And saith Abraham afar off. Abraham represents those who are believers. And Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. He wanted water. He wanted water. Said, for I'm tormented, listen to this, in this flame. But now listen. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime, while you lived, you had everything that you wanted. You received everything that was good. And Lazarus, his whole life was just nothing but a life of trials and poverty and struggles. Now he's comforted and you're tormented. And then look what he says. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. You can't come here and they can't come there. And I tell you what, this great gulf fixed between heaven and hell, Christ spanned that gulf. I'll never know what, I may know what it is to be tormented in this world. I may. I haven't yet. I haven't yet. And I'm thankful for it. I've went through a lot of things as you have, but I've never known what it is to be tormented. But there's a great gulf fixed. You know, there's that old song, you know, I'm building a bridge across the divide. I'm building it strong and I'm building it wide. Oh, no. Christ spanned that gulf for us. He spanned that great gulf for us. And I tell you what, we ain't never going to go where they are, and they certainly can't come where we are. Once you leave this world, that's the way you go be. And I notice something about that rich man. He never said, I'm sorry. He never said, forgive me. He never said, please bring me out of here. Please give me another chance. He knew where he was at and what he had coming to him. And he never said one time, let me out of here. You know what? That fella's still down there, still thirsting, still wanting just a drop of water on his tongue. And then our Lord turns around and says, I thirst. And nobody offered him any water. Let me tell you another thing about our Lord saying here, I thirst. It shows man's awful, awful, awful treatment of his Lord. And what I say of his Lord, because he is Lord over everybody on this earth, everything on this earth, he's Lord. You know, we hear much, much about man and how powerful he is, how mighty he is, how noble he is, how great he is, how powerful he is, how intelligent he is. People call themselves progressives. Where are they progressing at? What are they progressing to? I'm not progressing anywhere. I'm not making any headway. Progressing in sin, yes. Progressing in rebellion, yes. Progressing in hatred for God, yes. Progressing in man's ability to save himself, yes. Progressing in a lot of ways, but they're not progressing at all. Man's going to find out one of these days when he said, I'll not have this man reign over me. He's the very one that's going to reign over him. They said, oh, this man ain't going to reign over me. You wait and see. You wait and see. The scripture says every tongue's going to confess and every knee's going to bow And every single soul that's ever been on this earth is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That's going to happen. I'm not going to have him reign over me. Oh, yes, you are. Whether you know it or not, he already does it. He reigns over life. He reigns over death. He reigns over the grave. He reigns over the resurrection. He reigns over every breath you take. He reigns over every heartbeat you beat. He reigns over every time you bat your eye. He reigns over your eyelashes falling out. There's not a thing in this world that Christ doesn't reign over. Amen. So go ahead and say, I'm not having this man reign over me. Hold on. Just hold on. I'll tell you what, that's what I'm looking forward to. One of these days, we'll be in glory and we'll shout, as God sending men to hell, we'll shout, Hallelujah, Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and salvation belongs unto the Lord. Huh? Oh my. Man wants to think he's something, but the only place that truly, truly describes him as he is, not like he thinks he is, not like he hopes he is, not like he believes he is, but the Bible, the Word of God, is the only one that describes man as he really, really is. Born a rebel, live a rebel, and die a rebel if God don't save him. Huh? Oh, Lord. We sung that song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Hold on my being. Absolute sway. You're the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Oh, that's the heart's cry of every one of us here this morning. I heard Henry Mahan weighing his way up in his years. And he said, Father, whatever you need to do to use me and make me submissive to you, you break me. Break me just like you'd break, just break me down, break me down, break me down till I've got no way in the world to go but to you. I want to be used of you. That God will not use a man till he breaks him. Breaks him. Go get that young colt over there. Well, who am I going to say told me to get him? Say the Lord hath need of him. Colt never been broken, but when Christ says, bring him to me, he's brought, he's broken. Huh? Oh, Lord, have mercy. And when our Lord said, I thirst, look what it says there in verse 28. When our Lord said, I thirst, here's one thirst he had. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He thirsted to fulfill all the word of God. Thirsted to fulfill the scriptures. To him all the prophets give witness. Huh? And I tell you, he's walking with those disciples on the Emmaus road. And he opened the scriptures to their understanding. He spake of all the things in Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets concerning himself. Huh? Oh, he said, I got to fulfill the scriptures. Got to fulfill the scriptures. Whatever the scripture says about me, I've got to do it. Got to do it. Got to do it. I have to be. Have crushed the heel of the serpent, so I have to be crucified. Tell you another thing that he did, that he thirsted to do when he says, I thirst. He thirsted to honor and glorify his God, his Father. Oh my, look in John 8:49 with me. Look in John 8:49. You know, I say this all the time, and I don't know how honest I am about it. But I say, you know, it's our first and foremost reason for preaching is to the glory of God, whether anybody's ever saved or not. But our Lord, when he said it, he really meant it. Jesus answered them and said, I have not a devil. Well, they told him, you're a Samaritan, have a devil. But he said, I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, but there is one that seeketh and judges. That's God Himself. He said, I came down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. He said, Father, I finished the work. Glorify me now. Glorify me. But I, Lord Jesus Christ, you want to see God? You want to see God? If you want to see God, the only place you're going to see Him is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You ain't going to see Him nowhere else. You want to see Him as God? Just listen to what He has to say. You want to see Him as God? Just watch what He does. You want to see Him as God? Watch how He walks. You want to see Him as God? Just follow Him around. Listen to everything He says. He'll give you eyes to see, and you'll see God. You'll see God. Huh? So He came. He thirsted to honor and glorify His God and His Father. He even said, Father, I know you always hear me. I know you always hear me. But the reason I'm praying now, not for my sake, but everybody around me. Tell you another thing He thirsted to do. To finish the work that was given Him. God gave Him a work. He said, Father, I finished the work. I must work while it's yet day, for night's coming, no man can work. To finish the work given Him. What was the work given to our Lord Jesus Christ? What was the work given to Him? Well, first thing it was when He came in here was to fulfill God's law, every jot and every tittle of it. Every jot and every tittle in every single way. I mean, our Lord, and when you look at the Sermon on the Mount, especially you get there in 6 and 7, He said, you have heard it said by them of old time. But I say unto you, I say unto you. And everything that they said concerning the law, He said, this is what it really means. And the law was fulfilled in two words, love. One lawyer said to Him, said, what is the great commandment in the law? What should we do? What are we going to do? And our Lord says, it is written, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, body, soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love what fulfills the law. Being obedient to 10 commandments, that's not fulfilling the law. And there's people, and I'll tell you, it's pitiful. It's pitiful. There was a woman here one night, and I mentioned on, you know, have you ever kept the 10 commandments? She raised her hand and said, yes. I said, oh no, you're sadly mistaken. I've not kept one commandment. I haven't, especially haven't kept that commandment called love. And that's the greatest one of all. Love God? How are we going to love God? Do we love Him as He ought to be loved? Do we love Him as He's worthy to be loved? No. But as our Lord Jesus said, I know all things. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. There's only one person ever did that, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know why we come to Him? Because He did it all. All to Him I owe. God said, honor your father and your mother. I did in Christ. Don't commit no adultery. I have it in Christ. Don't lie. I have it in Christ. All those things I've done in myself and in my flesh, But those are the reasons I have to come to Christ. Don't show me no Ten Commandments. Show me love. That's what our Master says. Show me love. That's what I want to see. He said, this is the great commandment. This is the commandment I give to everybody. This is the new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. By this shall all men know you're my disciples. How? You'll have love one toward another. Oh, he fulfilled the law. And then here's the thing. He fulfilled it. He honored it. And then he bore its curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book to do. Now, why did he bear that curse? Because we didn't bear the curse. He bore the curse of everything in that law that you and I didn't do. Cursed is he that continueth not in all things. And our Lord bore all that curse. And it says in Galatians 3:13 that he bore the curse for us. Bore the curse of the law that he might redeem us. Listen to this. From the curse of the law. You think I'm afraid of the law? No. There's just the one who fulfilled it for me. What do you do about the law? I don't know how many of these reformed people say that all the time. How do you fulfill the law? How do you do about keeping the law? I don't. I got one who already did it for me. Now, does that mean I'm going to go out here and act like a lawless rebel? No, no. Love, love, love fulfilleth the law. And I tell you, to finish the work, he had to satisfy God, had to honor God, had to meet all of God's righteous demands and satisfy his justice. And God saw the travail of his soul. You know what he said? I'm satisfied. God being a just God, he cannot punish Christ and come back and get me for the same thing he punished Christ for. That's a just God. And then let me close with this. He thirsted. He thirsted. Said, I thirst to save his people from their sin. That's what he done the work for. The scripture says that he came. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Three things is said about him. He came to seek. He came looking. He comes seeking. You reckon he can find what he's looking for? He comes seeking. What's he looking for? Lost people. Sheep. He's looking for sheep. And we're looking for the same thing. I'm looking for sheep. I'm preaching hopefully to sheep. And one of these days a sheep will hear his voice. And when they hear his voice, they'll follow him. He come to seek. He come to seek. Ain't you grateful he come seeking? I wasn't seeking him. Said, you seek the Lord? No, no, he sought me. But once he sought me, I have never stopped seeking him. If he ever finds you and seeks you and finds you, you're going to always be seeking him from then on. Then not only did he come to seek, but he came to save. I sure would like to save you if you hadn't let me. No, he came to save. You know why they call him a savior? Because he saves. He's not a wannabe savior, pretend to be savior. He came to save. And who he came to save, he saves. Amen. And listen to this. And then he came to give eternal life. To give eternal life. To give it. He said, Father, I give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Eternal life. When you get it, I got it. I'm not going to get it. I already got it. Huh? We got it right now, don't we, James? We got eternal life right now. Right now. Ain't you grateful?
Amen.
That our Lord Jesus said, I thirst. I thirst. I thank God for everything He uttered on that cross. Because every one of them has something to say to us, especially to us, don't it? Our Father, the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow our hearts before You, thanking You for Your great mercy wherewith You loved us, called us by Your precious grace, revealed Christ to us and revealed Christ in us. Thank You for letting us meet this morning. Thank You for Your precious word. Oh, Lord, Your word. What power's in it. What power's in Your word. How precious is the word that comes to our hearts, speaks to us. Lord, thank You. And we praise You and bless You in Christ our Lord's name. Amen. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow. I tell you what, this world is really dim compared to His glory and His grace. I'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock, God willing.